It's the 21st show. I'm Brian Mackey. The 2024 Paralympic Games in France began yesterday, and as a result, we're listening back to some of our conversations with athletes who are attending the Games and representing Team USA and have ties to Illinois. We turn our attention now to one of the more prominent figures in wheelchair basketball, Steve Cerio.
Surveys the scene, dishes inside for Cerio, and one, as spectacular.
Hands of Anderson, Melamed can't handle it in the United States with a quick break. Pick up two with four on the clock, it's Cerio, and it's good.
United States in Navy, scored there through Steven Cerio. He went on to play a crucial role in the results. The United States were already leading by 8 points here.
USA captain Steve Cerio, it's magical.
I think that our team captain Steve Cerio is the greatest player right now.
You know, I would have to agree with him right there, just because I think his ability to lead and to take charge on a team that we have, full of guys with best potential and talent, that he does a great job being a leader, a captain, someone that we can still look up to as athletes. So yeah, shout out to Steve Cerio.
We recorded our conversation with Steve back in July, just before Independence Day, so we're not taking calls live, but you can let us know what you thought by emailing talk@21stshow.org. So how did you get into wheelchair basketball?
Yeah, I like to tell people that my life truly began when I was 11 months old. I was actually born with a benign spinal tumor that went undiagnosed for the first 11 months of my life. And during that time, the tumor became infected and inflamed and crushed my spinal cord, resulting in the incomplete paralysis of my lower extremities. So living with a disability, it's all I know. It's all I remember. And despite it, my loved ones were determined to give me a quote unquote normal childhood. I went to a normal public school system. I had able-bodied friends and I played able-bodied sports until I was around the age of about 14 or 15 years old when I learned that I just couldn't keep up with my able-bodied counterparts. My friends were getting bigger, stronger, and faster, and I just wasn't able to be out on the field to play with them. And I just learned that I wasn't born to sit on the sidelines. I needed to find an athletic outlet that allowed me to show the world the athlete that I was born to be. And I stumbled upon wheelchair basketball when I was about 14 or 15 years old, and honestly have not left the gym since.
So was it always your go-to sport, or you said you had done other activities before that?
Yeah, ironically, no. When I was growing up, I was a huge baseball player. And it was the one sport that I could play with my able-bodied friends that I felt like I was one of their equals. You know, I had great hands, I had great vision, I had great anticipation. So I was a great infielder when I was growing up. And basically, I would just be the designated first baseman, or I would be the designated catcher, maybe something that doesn't involve a lot of movement, because with my lower extremities being disabled, movement was a little bit of a challenge for me. But baseball was my first love. It's the sport that I fell in love with. And then when I found wheelchair basketball, I had always played able-bodied basketball growing up, but it was never something I took very seriously. So when I started playing, I had a little bit of a learning curve into just, you know, how to play the game of basketball. But I'm so incredibly glad that I found this sport, because it's given me everything I have today.
So we need to take a break in about a minute here, but before, and I do want to come to your time at the University of Illinois Urbana-Champaign, which is obviously so formative in your development as an athlete. But what is it? What is wheelchair basketball like when you're in high school? Is it a school sport? Is it a club team? How does that work?
Yes, sir. Wheelchair basketball is run by a big nonprofit in this country. It's called the National Wheelchair Basketball Association, and there are various youth teams scattered all across the country. Fortunate enough for me, I grew up on Long Island in New York, and there was a club team that played and trained about 10 minutes away from where I grew up that I never knew about. So it's similar to the AAU style. It's not offered in school districts, but it was fortunate enough that I had a team that was very close to where I grew up.
All right. We need to take a short break. When we return, more from our conversation with U.S. Paralympic athlete Steve Cerio, one of the greats of wheelchair basketball. This is the 21st show. Stay with us. This is the 21st show. I'm Brian Mackey. We're listening back to our conversation with Steve Cerio, who's a U.S. Paralympian playing men's wheelchair basketball. As we speak, he's currently in Paris competing for gold. Because our conversation's on tape today, we're not taking calls, but you can let us know what you thought by leaving a voicemail at 217-300-2121. So, Steve, you said you grew up on Long Island, New York. How do you end up going to school on the prairie at the University of Illinois Urbana-Champaign?
Yes, sir. That's a great question. Like I said, I got recruited to the University of Illinois my junior year of high school. And when I was competing and getting ready to go play collegiately, there weren't so many adaptive sports programs that had been started. I had basically my choice between three or four programs that I was deciding between. And I was very fortunate to choose the University of Illinois. Actually, the first time I stepped on campus was the first time I ever saw a cow, and I'll never forget that first smell. Coming from New York City, that's not an experience that we really have. But those were some of the formative years of my life, and I'm so incredibly honored to be a U of I alum.
This is a recurring theme we've heard on the show talking with different Paralympians over the years, is that the U of I seems to be this uniquely great place for wheeled sports in particular. Can you talk about your experience of that?
Yeah, absolutely. I'll start with wheelchair basketball was the first adaptive sport that was created in our country, and it was created on campus at the University of Illinois. It was started for wounded World War II veterans that were coming home from the war, and they were trying to help acclimate them back into society. And wheelchair basketball was a way for them to show society and to show their loved ones what they were still able to do, and they were still able to show the athletes that they had within themselves, even though they were returning wounded. And being a part of that history was so incredibly important to me. And it's something that I'll always remember, is that, you know, despite the wins and losses and the countless games that you play as an athlete, you're still a part of something that's bigger than yourself. You're still a part of a movement that is bigger than just the wins and losses. U of I is particularly different than other programs in that we have a variety of different adaptive sports. Track and field for the Paris Paralympic Games, a lot of the athletes are training and competing at the University of Illinois. I know that they were talking about starting a tennis program, although I don't know if that was actually launched off the ground, but they have a variety of resources for all adaptive sports athletes to try to compete and show the world the athletes that they have within themselves.
So you've been a wheelchair basketball player for about 20 years now. How has the sport changed since you first started?
Brian, that's a very nice way of calling me old. So I really appreciate you for saying it that way and not just coming out and calling me old. But the game has progressed tremendously over the course of my career. And you can kind of track it to the progression of the able-bodied game. When I first started, the big man, the athlete, the big athletes were kind of running the show, the ones that you could just throw the ball to your biggest and baddest player and let them get a bucket. But now the game has progressed to a more up-tempo, fluid, shoot a lot of threes type of style. And we were one of the first teams that had adopted that new gameplay, and it's helped us over the last 10 years or so. But now the rest of the world has caught up, and it's been really rewarding to not only be on the forefront of that progression and kind of changing the way the game is played, but as the rest of the world has caught up, kind of accepting that challenge and looking forward to the rest of the world being on our level in the Paris Paralympic Games in a couple of months.
You know, I'm sure technology is such an interesting aspect of Paralympic competition. And I'm sure, the chairs that you and your teammates use are quite different, especially from, those World War II veterans we were talking about a little while ago. But has that even changed during your time in the game?
That is a great point, and thank you for bringing it up. Yes, the technology that goes into our sports wheelchairs have changed dramatically for the better. As we've progressed in the game, I said that the game has gotten faster and more skilled. The chairs have gotten stronger and lighter over the course of my career. When I started, we were playing in these, kind of heavy aluminum, very, very durable, but very, very rigid chairs. And now, my wheelchair basketball chair is made of titanium. We have these aerodynamic wheels. We have our straps that strap us into our chairs, are dialed in to exactly our body type and our disability level. So yes, as the game has progressed, so has the technology. And it's one of the things that I love sharing with people, is just kind of comparing the idea of, hey, you know, able-bodied athletes, when you put on your sneakers or your cleats to play the sport that you love, I get into a different wheelchair and it's designed specifically so that I could be a really awesome athlete on the field of play.
One of the other things I was intrigued to ask you about, I drive a Toyota in my personal life. I understand we have that in common. A major sponsor of the International Paralympic Committee is Toyota. And you were telling our producer, it's the company has actually been more than just a sponsor. Talk about that.
Yeah, for adaptive sports athletes, Toyota is more than a car manufacturer. They are a mobility company. And it's shown that the investment that they have made into the adaptive sports movement, into the Paralympic Games specifically, has been unmatched by any other IOC or IPC sponsor. They have really shown that when you celebrate someone's differences, when you highlight someone's differences, not to feel sorry for them, but to embrace their differences, they are able to, all of us athletes, we're able to shatter the limitations anyone would ever try to place upon us. I never in my career would have thought that I would see an adaptive sport athlete featured in the Super Bowl commercial, but Toyota was the first brand that highlighted a really awesome para swimmer in the name of Jessica Long, who is kind of like the Michael Phelps of her sport. She had a Super Bowl commercial that aired a couple of years ago during the Super Bowl. I would have never dreamed that an adaptive sport athlete would be featured in that way, and how many millions of eyeballs saw her in that moment and maybe couldn't 100% relate to her journey, but maybe knew someone with a disability and turned them on to adaptive sports, or maybe did see themselves in that journey and decided to start their impossible with the start and seeing of that commercial. So Toyota has been an absolute game changer in the terms of adaptive sports movement, and I just cannot wait to see what they have in store for us for the future.
If you're just joining us, this is the 21st show. We're talking with Steve Cirio, a U.S. Paralympian playing men's wheelchair basketball, heading to Paris 2024. Steve, this is going to be your fifth Paralympic Games. What do you do to prepare? How is your life different now than maybe it would be in an odd numbered year when you're not heading to the Olympics?
Yes, sir. This will be number five. I've been very privileged in having a very long and industrious Team USA career. But as I've progressed in my career, I've also progressed in my life. And, you know, certain motivations have to change if you're going to be an athlete for this long. When I first started competing on Team USA and competing in my first Paralympic Games in Beijing in 2008, I was that starry-eyed Team USA rookie. I wanted to be the Team USA fan that is obnoxiously yelling and cheering for all of my Team USA athletes. I wanted to meet every athlete in the cafeteria and hear about their journey. And as I've progressed in my career, my impact has shifted from not only being the best Team USA athlete that I can be, but also being there for my teammates and being on the field of play and having that mental and emotional commitment to bring home another gold medal for our team. It took me about 10 years to really evolve as a leader and come into my own as to the athlete that I was always born to be on Team USA. And we were fortunate enough to bring home our first gold medal in 2016 since 1988 for the men's wheelchair basketball team, and also followed that up with a repeat in 2020 in Tokyo. So Paris 2024, we'll be going for our three-peat, we'll be chasing history. But as I've progressed in my career, my motivations has changed, my life has changed, and I'm just really looking forward to ending it on such an incredible high note in Paris in a couple of months.
So you mentioned you're going for a three-peat. You know, in so many sports, there seems to be, you know, certain countries tend to dominate, right? And certainly on the able-bodied side, American basketball team did really well for a number of years. I'm sure you remember the Dream Team and all that. You're putting together your own Dream Team three-peat now. How has the rest of the world done in this sport? Do you see, are they able to compete with the Americans? Is there a unique difference to the American team or the way of doing things here? How do you look at that and think about that?
Yeah, you're absolutely right. I mean, the sport of basketball is pretty ubiquitous in this country, and that lends us to have very high expectations as we compete in the Olympic and Paralympic Games, both on the able-bodied side and on the Paralympic side. both of our men's and women's teams on the Paralympic side for wheelchair basketball have a wonderful chance to bring home a medal for our country. Like you said, for us, we are back-to-back reigning gold medalists. The women won gold in 2016 alongside us. And I think they won bronze in 2020. So both teams are in great position to bring home another medal for our country. The rest of the world has absolutely caught up, though. We're not taking anything for granted. And that's been very rewarding for me as I've been a Team USA athlete for close to two decades now. It's not necessarily always about dominating. It's not necessarily always about winning. It's really about progressing the sport. And I like to tell people, the most influential moment I've had in my life has not been the day that I've won a gold medal at the Paralympic Games. It's the day that I found wheelchair basketball when I was 15 years old. And if the success of the Paralympic Games is translated to more people with disabilities finding adaptive sports, having their start your impossible moment, having that moment that transforms and opens up their lives and not only shows them that they can expect more from this life, but they can demand more from it. That's what I hope to do as a Team USA athlete. Of course, we love winning gold medals. We're Team USA athletes. We set the bar very high for ourselves. But I think I can speak for all of the Paralympians and the Olympians competing in Paris that the further progression of the sport and the bigger impact that we can have on people is what really drives us today.
Do you think this will be your last Games?
I can wholeheartedly say this will absolutely be my last Paralympic Games on the field of play. Wow. I've had a very privileged career, and I've accomplished everything I've wanted to accomplish on the field of play. And now it's my opportunity to provide the environment where the next generation of adaptive sports athletes can dream bigger than I was able to dream growing up. One of the things that I really love about this current team that's going to Paris is it's a good combination of older, I'll put that in quotes, veterans who have been there and done that and won at Paralympic Games before, but also half are rookies. Half are going through their first Paralympic Games and not only looking towards Paris, but looking towards dominating in LA in 2028. And to watch them progress in their athletic endeavors, to watch them go through their first Paralympic Games, it's a real honor for us as veterans, and I'm just really honored to not only have had success on the field of play, but to be a part of the next generation of athletes as they chase down their athletic endeavors off the field of play and from behind the scenes.
Steve Cirio is heading to Paris on the U.S. Paralympics men's wheelchair basketball team. Steve, thanks so much for sharing your sport with us today. Best of luck to you and your teammates.
Thanks for having me on, Brian. Take care.
And that was our conversation with Steve Cirio, a U.S. Paralympian competing in wheelchair basketball. Coming up tomorrow on the show, our reporter roundtable will be talking about the stories making headlines in Rockford, DeKalb, and Bloomington Normal. Then in our political roundtable, we'll talk with Chicago Tribune reporter Ray Long, who's co-written a series looking at the deep, deep roots of corruption here in Illinois. And finally, we'll be talking about a house in Urbana that's become an icon for fans of the band American Football, which got its start in Urbana and featured an image of the house on their self-titled debut album 25 years ago. You can now actually stay in the house. It's been listed on Airbnb. Before we go, I want to urge you to visit our website. You can sign up for our texting group, find our voicemail number, send us an email, subscribe to our podcast. It's all there at 21stshow.org, 21stshow.org. The 21st Show is produced by Anna Casey, Christine Hatfield, and Jose Zepeda. Our digital producer is Kulsum Khan. Technical direction and engineering comes from Jason Croft and Steve Mork. Reginald Hardwick is our news director. The 21st Show is a production of Illinois Public Media. I'm Brian Mackey. Thanks for listening. We'll talk with you again tomorrow.